I'm sure most of us have had the experience of talking to someone in person and they get a text or a phone call and they say, just hold on a second, and they proceed to talk or text while we're waiting there. And then they turn back to us and say, what was it we were talking about? I know I've been in the receiving end of this, and then sadly I have to admit that at times I've done that to people as well. Now, there are exceptions to this, of course. Sometimes we need to take a call, or we plan to be open, and then someone starts a conversation with us, and we need to remove ourselves from that situation. But these exceptions aside, how often do we miss having quality moments with someone because we are caught up in something? We desire to do everything ourselves, or because we are immersed in some technological world or some self-centered practice. You know, this can happen in different ways. Sometimes we get all caught up in different things. The internet, there's lots of things, right? Oh, have you seen this new video? Ah, it's the interweb. You must receive this video. It's really great. You gotta watch. You know, we can get caught up in these things where we sort of just live in technology. And technology, don't get me wrong, it has its place. It's good. What I'm getting at is sometimes we fill our lives with so many secondary things that we miss the primary things, the things that we're meant to pay attention to in our lives. In our gospel today, the rich man is caught up in living this luxurious lifestyle. He's got everything that money can buy, right? Everything that he could ever want. His time is preoccupied with these many things. I'm sure for him, it seemed like these things were important. Or at least he would say that he was doing what he needed to do or what he wanted to do. Well, we are meant to ask the question, I think, did he fill his time with the best things? Were these the best things? Perhaps the rich man didn't intentionally avoid Lazarus, but for him, Lazarus became just part of the landscape. His heart was not moved by Lazarus' state. The rich man didn't seem to be intentionally evil or particularly nasty. His sin was more one of omission. He just omitted this opportunity. Through his preoccupation with his own life, he lost touch with what could have been his salvation. This man that was at his doorstep day in and day out. In the end, what did his wealth do for him? It could have been a great source of blessing for himself and for others, but instead he allowed his wealth to rule his life. And in the parable, it leads to his damnation. For his failure to notice the primary things in his life, he pays an eternal punishment. Sin, especially grave sin, the kind that can send us to hell, implies a consent. We have to have sufficient consent, and a deliberate choice is made. Feigned ignorance or hardness of heart do not diminish, but rather increase the voluntary character of our sins. That's from the Catechism. So we're culpable. We're culpable for what we fill our time with, what we do. We know the commandments, right? The things we should do. The church is here to show us the way. We've heard the Beatitudes, the Ten Commandments, the precepts of the church. We know these things. Are we taking time to pay attention to them? Do we consider them important in our lives? Do we then consider how we can fulfill these commands and how can we give ourselves to them? Or do we make excuses for ourselves? In the parable, the rich man has Moses, right, and the prophets. This is another term for the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We have the Old Testament. We have the church. We have the magisterium, which is the Pope and the bishops are in union with him, the teaching body of the church. Do we claim ignorance? Do we claim to be ignorant about what is expected of us? If we plan to make that argument when we get to the end of our lives, we have to consider this parable carefully today. The rich man tries to warn his brothers so that they might not fall into the same fate that he does. How does Abraham respond? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And then if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Jesus has risen from the dead. Do we pay attention to his voice? We have the tools. We have the aids that we need for eternal salvation. It's a free gift. God freely gives it to us. But are we too caught up in our own lives to make use of these gifts? Are we intentional with how we spend our time? Do we approach the people around us with love, with awareness, with reverence? to the hardships of the poor and, you know, those who are struggling in different ways? Do they strike us? Refugees, single mothers, do we see their plight and does it move our hearts? Do these people find compassion and assistance from us, or are we too busy or preoccupied for them? Take it to another level. How do we respond to our brothers and sisters, to our parents, to our loved ones, our family members? Do we give them time in our lives? There's a saint, Saint Martin of Tours. He's a saint from back in the 4th century. There's a famous story that's told about him. He was riding a horse. He wasn't a Christian at this time. He had some classes, but he hadn't been baptized yet. He was riding a horse. He was an army. He was a soldier. And he was going into the city. And in the city gate, there was a beggar there who was poorly clothed. And it was a very cold day. And he was moved with compassion for this man. He took his cloak. He had a big cape. And he cut it in half with his sword. And he gave that half to the beggar there. And then in a dream that night, he saw this beggar holding the cloak, the part of the cloak that he gave him. And he saw that Jesus was saying to him, "You took care of me in this moment." And it was a great moment of conversion. Maybe the moment that he was converted to the faith, and that moment that saved him, sent him on the path towards salvation. In our day, it can be very easy to live in a virtual world. We can get caught up in TV shows, movies, sports, texting, the interweb. We can get caught up in these things. Are we letting these things become primary in our lives? Who or what is the Lazarus in our lives? Is there something that God is placing before us, inviting us to see, inviting us to receive salvation? There's an opportunity coming up next month for a way where we can open our eyes. So there's the Diocesan Assembly. This is something that happens every year. It's coming up Saturday, October 8th. It's an all-day kind of thing. I'm going to go with some people here, and I just want to offer this as an opportunity for anyone who would like to. There's information in the bulletin and on the website. We're going to do some carpooling. So there's a sheet in the back of church, way back. If you'd like to think about joining us for that day. It's a way, I think, it's going to be about evangelization, but I think it's a way to open our eyes to see Christ in our brothers and sisters, to see where is God calling me to be converted? Where is he helping me to focus? We need that in our lives. Let's not be caught off guard, but take this time to examine our life and to be present to what is important and to who is important, our neighbor, our brothers and sisters, our family, and to God. I'd like to close with a prayer from St. Teresa of Avila. Although I have often abandoned you, O Lord, you have never abandoned me. Your hand of love is always outstretched towards me, even when I stubbornly look the other way. And your gentle voice constantly calls me, even when I obstinately refuse to listen. When sins in my soul are increasing, I lose the taste for virtuous things. Yet even at such moments, Lord, I know I am failing you and failing myself. You alone can restore me to my taste for virtue. You are so patient, willing to wait so long as necessary for me to turn to you. Lord, help us to turn to you.